Today's Bible reading is from the book of Proverbs, and it's on the screen or in the NIV Bible in your pews. First is from Proverbs 24, chapters 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find one? 19:14. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. 18:22. He who finds a wife finds what is good, and receives favor from the Lord. 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish woman tears hers down. 26:21. As charcoal to embers, and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. And finally, Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Thank you, Paul. Well, we're getting near to the end of our series. In fact, today is almost the last. I've got one more, but I'm going to leave that till later in next month, because we've got a family and friends Sunday coming up, and I thought I'd take the topic of parenting on that particular day for obvious reasons. So next Sunday we'll start in the series of looking at the seven churches in the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, two or three chapters. We have today the topic of marriage. And Marg's not sitting down here. She's sitting about the back, so you can't see her looking sideways. No, seriously. All week I've had to behave myself knowing that I was going to talk about this topic. Anyway. All right, so wisdom in marriage. In Proverbs, of course, all these topics that come up in the book of Proverbs are scattered throughout. So the reading wasn't just like a normal reading through. It was just taking verses here and there as the Proverbs, the style of the book is. And the one that I want to kick off with is Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4, where it says, by wisdom a house is built and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Marg and I were married in 1971 back in New Zealand. And when we got engaged, we decided to buy a block of land for $2,000 and build a house which cost 10 grand. So it only cost us 12 grand. So back then it was a lot of money, but now, of course, it's next to nothing. But anyway, so we built this house, but we scraped, put everything together we had, and we basically ran ourselves totally empty of any money other than just getting that and getting the mortgage going. And so we didn't have any money to buy furniture. We borrowed church chairs for us to have something to sit on. We bought an old second-hand bedroom suite, so it was just two beds. We pushed them together and put a mattress across both of them, and basically it was an empty shell of a house and a few chairs and a bed, and that was it. And so over the years, of course, over the months following and then years, we gradually added to it. We bought soft furnishings, and we put nice furniture in eventually, and nice art and pictures on the wall and ornaments and so on. So the actual house became something much more attractive on the inside than it was when we first moved into that basically empty shell of a house, even though it was new. And I thought that's a little bit like marriage, that you start off and you come together and it's basically a house that is established based on a covenant that we've made before God to each other. You gradually add to that and you build a relationship. And as this verse says, and I'd like to read it in the Good News Bible, where it says, homes are built on the foundation of wisdom and good sense. Where there is knowledge, the rooms are furnished with valuable and beautiful things. And so when you apply wisdom to marriage, you actually end up with a household, with a home that is filled with beautiful and attractive things, valuable things. All that we have gone through in the book of Proverbs relates to marriage as it does to life in general, because life is relationships, isn't it? And of course, the closest, most intimate, most real relationship that we ever enter into is when we have a marriage partner. And so into that relationship you bring the fear of the Lord. When we dealt with that, we talked about words that heal or hurt. So much a part of marriage. Friendship and the principles behind friendship, that is one of the themes through this book of Proverbs. Pride and humility has a huge impact on a married couple's life and relationship. Attitudes towards wealth, the work ethic, and decision making, which we looked at last Sunday. All of these are major factors, and so we can bring all of them into building a house that is grows in value and beauty. So wisdom, which means skills for living, the word means in the original Hebrew, and that has a real lot to do with relationships. So Proverbs were written primarily to, quote, my son. So Solomon writing to his son or sons, and he's giving them wisdom. This is how you live. Skills for life. I want you to be prepared for life when it hits you, when you get out there and you begin to grow into mature manhood. This is what I want you to learn about life. And today, it particularly so when he takes the topic of marriage and that kind of relationship, then he's writing to his son. So it says a lot about women and the wives and says nothing about husbands, but that's the reason. In fact, there is, as I'll show, it is balanced, but that's the reason why it talks about an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And she who shames him, however, is as rottenness or cancer in his bones. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. However, it also says, like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no wisdom or discretion. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is that because this was written to his son, and there's no counsel to women in this book, but when you take everything that Solomon writes to his son, some of the things we've looked at already, you know, the whole idea of your words and decision making and so on, when you look at that and apply that to the husband, well, there's a lot said about the husband. So I've got a whole list here you'll see on two slides of all that it says about a husband, even though it's implied, it's not actually spoken out. So a wise man, if you like, and a woman, would be kind and compassionate, honest, hardworking, truthful, self-controlled, gentle tongue, generous, willing to be corrected, faithful and reliable and forgiving, and so on. The list goes on. And so I want to start by saying that all that is true of the ideal wife, as it talks about in this book, is true of the ideal husband. So I'm talking here about marriage partners, not one gender or the other, because it applies to both. Obviously, where it talks about a wife who's contentious and creates arguments, it's so true about the husband as well, obviously. It's just that this was written to a son. Did I get that out? Happy now? Right, let's move on from there. Okay. If you had to put a score on your marriage, for those of us here who are married, what would you put? Would it be 1? Or would it be 10? Or where would you discern that your marriage is at right now? That's an interesting question, because it actually forces you to evaluate. You know, really, we need to stop and think, you know, how is my marriage going? 3 ways to enjoy a blessed marriage. First of all, build a relationship of love and respect. It says in chapter 3, verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Love and faithfulness never leave you. Actually, bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. In the New Testament, there's one passage that is specifically written to husbands and wives about their relationship with one another. And it starts off with the verse 21, where it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That is, that there's a mutual submission, there's a mutual willingness to bow to the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, and that then filters down into being submissive to one another. And so it starts off by talking that way, and then it talks to wives and it talks to husbands, and finally the summary verse at the end, which would be the summary verse on marriage in the New Testament really, is this. It says, each of you must love his wife as he loves himself, speaking to the husband. And the wife must respect her husband. Love and respect together are a real key to a blessed marriage. So husbands are to love, and that means, it says here, as though she was himself. As you would care for, look after, and love yourself in that sense, that you watch out for yourself and you care for yourself, so you must love your wife in that way. And the wives are to respect their husbands, to honor, to hold in high esteem. And this is out now, gathered together in a wonderful book, which I have here, Love and Respect, written by Emerson Eggerichs. And he writes in here, and it's an incredible book, and it's in the library, and I've got a copy in my library in the office, and if you want to borrow it, please do. Or you can go on our church Facebook group. I've put up one of the I think the best of his messages, this guy Emerson Eggerichs, his message to the Saddleback Community Church on this very issue, and it's brilliant. It's well worth watching and listening to. So love and respect, and God has created us equal in gender-wise. We are equal. We're not one above the other in terms of our equality, but we are different. We are. Physically we're different, emotionally we're different, and he shows that a woman's primary felt need in a relationship is to be loved. We all want to be loved, but especially for the woman, that is such a high priority, a high desire within her, or felt need, should I say. And the man's primary felt need is to be respected. And so he bases this not only on this New Testament passage that we just read, but also on Professor John Gottman in the Department of Psychology at the University of Washington, who did a study with 2,000 married couples over 20 years. And there were all sorts from different backgrounds, socioeconomic groups. Some had children, some didn't. Some were old, some were young. And it was a wide demographic. And he predicted with 94% accuracy those who would stay married. And he found in that love and respect were the main core issues that resulted in a stable and long marriage. Now, since then, this man, Egerich has himself done some studies and surveys and found some other things that will come up to in a little while. When a husband doesn't feel respected, he responds in an unloving way. And when the wife doesn't feel loved, she responds in a disrespectful way, is a norm, apparently, according to these studies. And so you have a cycle. And when, in the positive sense, when he loves her, she respects, and it builds back up again. Anyway, let's look at love and respect. First of all, love. It says in chapter 3, verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Love is to regard the other person as more important than yourself. Oh, that is so hard because we always look out for ourselves. Even in the closest relationship, we are tainted by sin, by selfishness. I want that, and so I go for it. And I want my way, and so love is to say, no, that is important to me, but what is important to her or to him if you're a wife looking at a husband? What is more important? What is important to her or to him? How does a wife want to be loved? Sometimes us guys think we know how she needs to be loved, but it can be quite different. You must read the book if you haven't already, The Five Love Languages, and the way we differ in the way we show love and we want to receive love. A husband was told by a marriage counselor he needs to be more loving to his wife. So he thought, I know, I'll take her out on a date. So he went to Goodwill and he bought a suit, put it on and a tie. And he went to a store and he bought a nice bouquet of roses and a box of chocolates. And he turned up at the door and he didn't go in, he knocked. And so she'd get surprised. And she opened the door and there he stood. And she said, oh no, I can't believe it. Little Jeremy's been out of control today. The dishwasher's not working. My folks are coming over tomorrow. I've got everything sorted. And on top of it, you come back home drunk. I want us to go to Proverbs 31. If you've got your pew Bibles, you might like to turn to it. Proverbs 31 has what's called the wife of noble character, and it's so often applied as it is written to the woman. But this was written to the son of a king in chapter 31, verse 1 and 2. King Lemuel, who wrote, I haven't noticed that before. I'll have to think about that. A son of my vows. And then he goes on to talk about things. Then he says, listen, my son, this is the kind of woman that you're to marry. This is what is really the ideal noble woman. But as we read through it, we find a lot about her, but we actually find some indications about him. What does this teach us about this man, how he is to love his wife? First of all, he's to treasure her. In chapter 31, verse 10, we read, an excellent wife who can find she is more precious than jewels. And at the end of the chapter, he says that You surpass them all. You know, there's others, but hey, you surpass them all. He sees in his wife value and treasure. The wise husband never demeans his wife or puts her down or makes her the butt of a joke. She competes favorably with Netflix and with touchdowns and with a good golf stroke. She's up there. And we honor her and we treasure her by the way we listen to her. Husbands, we'll come to wives soon and how they should look at the husbands. But now we're looking at husbands, how they're to love their wives. You listen to her. You treasure her so that you actually don't just go on with your stuff while she's talking. You face to face, you talk with her. For her, that's so important. That is showing love to her. You have empathy. You identify with her feelings. She's had a bad day. So you say, "Oh, that must be so hard for you. I'm sorry I wasn't here to help you." And you identify with her rather than saying, "Oh, yeah, I've had a hard day in the office too." There's that sense of loving her by listening to her. Men tend to come up with solutions. She says this, and the husband says, "Oh, well, look, I know what to do. First of all, if you do this and do that." And she just wants somebody to listen to her. So often that can be the case. So love her, treasure her by listening to her. Treasure her by valuing her, the things that are important to her. That she wants time together. She doesn't want us time together to sit in front of the square box and watch some movie. She wants time together to go a walk on the Monon and talk and communicate and build and maintain that relationship. Doing life stuff together, whatever it is, mutual interests. Her needs. She needs time out. So give her time out. Think about what is important to her. Value her. That is all bound up in this whole idea of this man treasuring his wife. Secondly, we find that he trusts his wife. That's another way to love on your wife. Verse 11, it says, "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." So she is fruitful, productive. As you read through this, she works, she provides food, and she considers a field and she buys it. She earns money from planting a vineyard, and she works vigorously. Her arms are strong. She sees that her trading is profitable, and goes on. She's really active, and he trusts her. He doesn't try to micromanage her or try to manage her. She's an independent. She's trusted totally. So if you want to love your wife, that is what you do. You trust her in the real stuff of life, not just trusting her that she'll be faithful to you. I'm not talking about that, although that's included. It's total trust in your wife. She's free to be who she is because her husband supports, encourages, and trusts her. And thirdly, he praises his wife at the end of the chapter, where it says, "My children, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." The wise husband seeks to affirm and praise his precious wife. He nourishes her and cherishes her as Christ does the church, which we read in Ephesians 5. "A good wife is her husband's pride and joy," it says in Proverbs 12:4. "But a wife who brings shame to her husband is a cancer to his bones." And I want to finish this little section on chapter 15, verse 17. "Better to eat vegetables with a person you love than to eat the finest of meat where there is hate." Do you know what? The next part of love and respect is respect. And I want to say that husbands, men, love to be respected. this man, Egrich, he did a survey of 400 husbands, and he asked this question: would you rather be left alone and unloved in the world, or viewed as inadequate and disrespected by everyone? Let me read that to you again. Would you rather be left alone and unloved in the world, or viewed as inadequate and disrespected? Over 70% of them said, I'd rather be left alone and unloved in the world than be disrespected. That's a significant statistic. In a conflict, he goes on to write one of the other questions he has in the survey. In a conflict with your wife, do you feel she doesn't love you or doesn't respect you? Over 80% said that she doesn't respect me. Now, when he asked the women, their one was on love. They responded in a similar percentage, saying, oh no, I think he doesn't love me in the middle of a conflict. For a woman to be loved is so high in their value system, and for a man to be respected. And this has been borne out, as I've already shared, with even secular psychological surveys. How does a husband want to be respected? He needs to be appreciated for what he is and what he's done. Let him know it. It's important to a guy. He needs to be accepted for who he is. Accept his leadership, especially in front of the children and other people. And approval. Men love to have their wives' approval. A wife can talk to a husband in a way that no one else on planet Earth would ever talk to them. And we need to be careful how we talk to our husbands. Men react not to the content of what is being said to them in a heated moment, or as Emerson Egrich says, in heated fellowship. Men don't react to the content of what is said. You know, you didn't put out the garbage. It's not the content, but the manner in which it is said, the tone of voice, the facial expression, which affects their respect. It's huge. And the third thing I've got there is faithfulness. And we know the importance of faithfulness in a marriage, not just physical faithfulness in the area of sexuality, but in every way, to be faithful to one another. I know time is gone, so I will just give the last 2 points, because we've actually dealt with words, healthy communication, the build a relationship with words. Words are so important in marriage. I just need to say that. Our speech is the biggest area needing to be addressed when it comes to a marriage relationship. How we speak and what we say to one another. The day-to-day gauge of our marriage comes down to how we speak, whether it's in kindness and respect and love, or in anger and aggravation. And finally, build relationship with peacemaking. It's in the conflict. You can't avoid conflict when you have two individual people with different minds and different ways and different makeups. In so many ways, we are different. Even those who are close and like each other still are quite different. And so conflict is going to be there. But it needs to be good conflict. It needs to be conflict where you control how you handle that conflict. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, it says in 17:14. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Learn to back off. Learn to cool it. As charcoal to embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. Again, and I'm almost through, so hang in there, but I just want to give this statistic. Again, Emerson Eggerich says, when he asked 7,000 people the question, 7,000, when you are in a conflict with your spouse and you feel unloved and disrespected, do you feel, unloved or disrespected? 83% of the husbands said they were disrespected. 72% of the wives said they were unloved. So during the actual conflict, to show love and show respect, to build that into your psyche of how you, when you face that, even a minor conflict, to respond to your husband or respond to your wife, knowing that they need to be loved, that they need to be respected. I want to finish with this. The smallest attitude can transform a marriage. Just an attitudinal change can have a huge effect. I started with the verse Proverbs 24:3-4. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. In Australia we have, like you have here, shows that where they renovate houses, like take an old bomb house and do it up, and it's amazing what they've done. And one of the shows that they have is called Auction Squad. And they get to this house that is sad, neglected, and in almost ruin, or basically nothing much of a house. And they work as a team. They have $20,000 to invest in it. They spruce up the house, the garden, and put it together. One of these houses that they did, the owner was then meant to auction it off and see what money they can make. They get an estimate for the value of the house before and afterwards, and then they sell the house at auction. See how much it brings in. Well, after they'd done up this house, these people said, "We don't want to sell. It's too good. We'll stay here." And you know, when you really work at your marriage, and if you take seriously these things and take that house, the basic house on a foundation of a covenant before God and a desire to please Him, you can take that house to a place where previously you might have thought, "Let's get out of here. Let's finish this up," to the point where you say, "Let's stay. This is great." And that can happen. It can happen with you. Let's sing our praise song at the end and worship our Lord and remember we need Him in the marriage situation, in the situation of life, no matter who your relationships are with, no matter how close or not so close your relationships are, we need the Lord in our lives in order to empower us to live the way He calls us to live.